This is Michael from Colorado. In this episode of Chickens, Beer, Fish Clean, Baseball Cards, Muscle Flexes, Scary Stats, Strong Opinions, and Marginal Analysis is brought to you by the IVNB Patreon supporters. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVNB podcast, probably the most important episode in the history of this podcast. After 7 seasons and 354 episodes, we finally have an important episode, guys. We finally gotten here.
I don't know if I can handle it.
You mean when we were talking about Josh Vitters and Brett Jackson, that wasn't important?
Should we just go through the list of like Cubs players that we've already forgotten about over the last couple years?
Trying to give us and put us into existential crisis territory.
Right. So joining me tonight, as usual, the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy
and Kurt.
So can you guys believe that we are here sitting ready to talk about the postseason?
I can't believe it. Pinching myself right now, giving myself some slaps.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm so nervous. We texted back and forth today about our nervousness and so much anxiety, and it's probably a quarter of what it's going to be tomorrow. And my wife is already like, "Are you really this bad already?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Oh my!
So like, I was playing it cool today while we were texting, trying to give Corey a hard time, but I'm there with you.
I was a nervous wreck today. I seriously was a nervous wreck. Like, I tweeted this, and I was not joking. In preparing for this episode, I almost threw up. Like, I almost got sick to my stomach. My hands are like, during my lunch, I was talking about this game tomorrow, which most people listening to it would be tonight. I was talking about it with the Cardinals fan that I work with, and my hands were shaking. Like, it's just too much for me. I don't know what came over me. I was like, the last couple of days, I'm like, yeah, I got this, you know, I'll probably get nervous right before the game. And then today it just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Are 07 and 08 that long ago that it just is that novel of an experience?
Yeah.
Cubs playoff baseball, I mean.
Well, you did have a Notre Dame national championship game in the middle there, but.
Right. That didn't turn out so well either.
No. But I did have, at some point, I had to leave my desk and just go for a walk. I seriously did. I had to get off away from my desk. I couldn't handle it. But I did have a moment of clarity where it felt pretty good, and then it all came rushing back.
If the Cubs were actually just going straight to the NLDS, say they had won the division, it might not feel the same way.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of akin to a really, really long road trip where you finally start to see the destination come into view. I mean, if you consider it in terms of how long we've been podcasting without the destination coming into view.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. But this is why you do it, right? Like, isn't it like, if without anxiety, it doesn't mean anything. And yeah, I forgot how painful this is.
Well, part of the problem is my stomach is, you know, what, 7 years older now, you know. I've got like,
yeah, we were, what? Well, I was in my 20s last time.
Yeah, man.
You guys were yipes. You're making bad decisions.
Yeah, I wasn't married yet, you know.
Yeah,
totally different life scenario. Tonight, I was late on this podcast because I was bathing children. Talk about a different life between the playoff.
Man, that's enough to make your stomach hurt.
Whereas before, it would have been hard drugs.
Alcohol chasers after.
Well, just to show people how foreign all of this is to us. I went ahead and so I could get this episode posted right away and get to bed at a decent time, because I'm hoping I don't get very much sleep in the month of October. That's what I'm hoping for. So I was like, oh, I'll write my show notes, get that all done so I can just post it. So I'm writing up the post, and anybody that's blogged before knows that you can have different tags for that post. So, you know, our podcast episodes, I always, you know, the tag is podcast. And maybe if we focus on a certain thing, you know, whether it be the front office or ownership, offense, something like that, I might include that tag. And so it's searchable that way. So as I'm filling this out, I was like, oh man, I'll have to do the playoff tag and the postseason tag. And they did not exist. We have never, had a post on our website. Tags. We have never had a post on our website that involved the postseason or...
And we had a whole fresh stack of them printed up in 2009.
Yeah.
Just ready to use them at any time.
Fresh tags.
Oh, man. All right. So on this episode, we're previewing Wednesday night's Cubs Pirates wildcard game. Before we do that, though, we're going to play an interview that Andy and I did with Katie Day. Katie is the musician that wrote the By the Lakeside song that has been making its rounds and we've been using as our closing music here for the last month or so. And this was a really fun conversation, and I think you'll enjoy it. So here it is. All right, Katie, so thanks for coming on the podcast. Technically, you've been on our podcast for the last month or 6 weeks with us playing your song By the Lakeside, but it's really nice to have you here in real life.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. I'm happy to be here.
So your song has kind of exploded. Before we get into, you know, everything that's happened since you wrote this song, I'm kind of curious, can you kind of give us a glimpse into the creative process of your songwriting? So let's say specifically with this song By the Lakeside, I suppose some songs are kind of inspired by melodies or music ideas, and then some are inspired by lyrical content. So talk about By the Lakeside and how did this song come together?
Yeah. So usually I usually write the music first and then write the lyrics afterwards. But with this song, it kind of just popped into my head at the same time. So it was when last October when the Giants were in the World Series, and I live in San Francisco, and I was just thinking about being a Cubs fan and being bummed out all the time. And so I was tired of everybody in San Francisco, you know, it felt like such like hollow, you know, victories that we were having out after the third time. And there are so many like transplants just celebrating even though they didn't really grow up with it, you know, not to judge, but I just felt like I really was going into my like Cubs fan hole and not wanting to like be a part of any of that. So I watched the Bartman documentary, the Bartman 30 for 30, and then I got really sad, and then it just kind of popped into my head. And just the chorus, just, you know, when the gods decide it's about damn time, and just that melody. And then I was like, all right, I got to write this down. And it was a song that kind of came out in like 45 minutes. Like it just, I had it in me, and it was just like, you know, divine inspiration. I was like, I have to write this song about the Cubs. And then I didn't record it until January. And in January, I went into the studio and just spent like a handful of days doing all the instruments and everything. And then the last day when I had to do the vocals, I just watched some hype videos and drank some whiskey and got really sad and then sang it. It comes through.
So when it comes to the lyrics, it's pretty clear that you intended to write a song that wasn't over the top with Cubs references.
Right.
And we kind of feel that adds to the charm and the appeal of the song. Because it does seem like a song you could hear somewhere and not really gather that it's about the Cubs. So, right. So why did you choose to get together lyrics in this way? And, was it difficult to not get specific as you were writing it?
I felt like I wanted to put it on my record. So, and I knew that my record wasn't going to be about, you know, anything specific really. So I wanted it to just kind of be like a pop song that was, you know, palatable for anybody. And that worked out because it was actually featured on the homepage of Spotify, and the people at Spotify had no idea that it was about baseball or about the Cubs at all. They just thought it was like a decent song, you know? So that's kind of cool. But it, you know, I mean, it wasn't really that difficult, because usually when I write songs, I try not to be too specific because I want the songs to be relatable, you know? So yeah, I guess if you weren't a Cubs fan, you wouldn't necessarily know that it was about the Cubs, you know?
But I suppose you might still be able to get something out of it or apply it to some scenario or situation.
Hopefully.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a cool thing about the song.
Thank you.
I think we all have in our lives things where "It's About Damn Time" applies to that.
Right. Yeah.
Like blab working.
So is this the first time that you've written a Cubs related song?
Yes. Yeah.
Did it kind of feel like a heavy endeavor?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. Especially since I really thought that it was going to be a special year this year when I wrote it last year, you know, and that we had, you know, good, like, big things coming. So, I wanted to make sure that it was going to work, you know?
Yeah, well, the timing was awesome for you. I mean...
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, Lauren in the chat there says that you broke the curse, so you can take
that. That's what I'm hoping. Other people are saying the opposite. They're saying that now the curse is going to be blamed on me this year.
Well, we don't believe in curses here, so you're safe.
So we wanted to ask you about just your general music influences, like if you have specific people or specific music groups that influence or inform your music.
Well, I mean, I grew up listening to a lot of just like classic rock and oldies, basically. And I mean, Neil Young is my number one. But then I also love like Beyonce and Taylor Swift. So it's kind of all over the board. Like I love pop music. You know, I'm not all pop music, but I love a lot of pop music. Like over the course of the decades, really, you know, I mean the Beatles and the Beach Boys and everything. And I don't know, it just kind of all goes into what I'm doing now.
Right. So is the keyboard your piano your primary instrument, or
it is? And I teach piano lessons, I teach guitar lessons, and a little bit of voice too. So that's like what I do for a living in San Francisco.
Okay, cool.
So let's talk about the Cubs. I think that all Cubs fans have been asking each other this question the last few weeks, and so I have to ask you seriously, how fun has this season been?
The most fun. It's the most. Everybody's saying it's the most fun season of their lifetime, and I would agree.
Yeah, I think we would too.
And you know, especially on the heels of some not so great years, you know.
Right. That's what makes this thing like. I mean, it would be fun regardless, just because of like the personalities and the characters involved.
Right.
But the fact that like we were at like it's such. So deep in the valley. I mean, we were way down there. And so to like climb up so quickly and to see that, you know, to experience a team that does have this much personality, it's just been so awesome.
Yeah, it is. And just to see, you know, how young they are, but the kind of camaraderie that they have with each other, they just seem to have like this brotherhood that you watch and it just feels really like pure and good to see that.
Yeah.
It's weird to think about Anthony Rizzo playing in the Valley of 2013 when you see him in the context of this season.
Yeah, I know. Totally.
So what were your Cubs influences? You know, how did you end up becoming a Cubs fan?
Well, I mean, I just grew up with the Cubs, you know, my grandpa and my dad, and just, I played softball when I was a kid and I always just loved baseball. And we just, you know, my dad's a school teacher also, so he had summers off. So in the summers, we would just like play running bases and listen to the games on WGN radio or just watch. We had every game on, but usually we would have the TV on silent and have the radio on. So
like back in the old days before you could sync them.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, that was just so much a part of my life. And then, I mean, I got really into it in middle school in like 98. And then, yeah, just from there, I went away to school in 2003 and that was the Bartman year. And I remember watching from my dorm room in Boston and then living through two World Series in Boston. And then I moved to San Francisco in 2010. So I've lived through five World Series.
You've seen a lot of winning baseball.
That's why I'm not going anywhere. That's why I'm staying here.
You need to be where the Cubs are playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we do have a question from a listener. They knew that we were going to be talking with you tonight and emailed this and mailed it in. Yeah, I opened up the envelope and no. Anyway, so this is from Jason. And Jason asks, he says, the first pitch tomorrow night is at 7:08 Central Time or 19:08 Military. The date is 10/7 and it's been 107 years since 1908. Are the stars aligning?
So this, yeah, the stars are aligning, I guess. But it's just the wild card game, first of all. And also, the only reason why I like refuse to latch on to that is because in 2008, I was really like stoked about the fact that it had been 100 years.
Right.
And that we were the best team in the National League and everything. And like, I really was just like, it's meant to be. Like, I thought the stars were aligning then. So right now I love that. I think it's awesome, but I'm just not thinking too hard about it, I guess, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at too. Like, I think those number things are kind of like fun, but I think that you can kind of make them work for just about anything. Although those are pretty specific, I guess.
That is really specific. I mean, well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I think, you know, after this is all said and done, if they win it all, then we can say, yes, the stars did align. But before then, who knows?
So, Katie, before we let you go, we have to ask you for a prediction for tomorrow night's game, the wild card Cubs Pirates. What is your prediction? Any, you know, you can give us what you think the score might be. If you don't want to go that far, then you can just maybe talk about how you think Arrieta will do or any of the individual players, whatever you're willing to put out there. We would like to hear it.
Okay. I think it's going to be a 1-0 game. Cubs are going to win and it'll be a single shot home run by Anthony Rizzo in the top of the sixth.
That's pretty specific.
Not a bad prediction.
Yeah.
Rizzo's had some success against Cole, so.
It's pretty specific. But if it happens, we have this on record.
Right. All right. I have one more question for you. Okay. Is there a story with your jacket? Because every time I see you on TV or being interviewed, you're wearing that jacket, and it's pretty awesome. And so there's got to be a story behind it.
Well, the story is, I spent a lot of money on eBay on this jacket, like right before I came back to Chicago, and I'm just trying to get my money's worth. But yeah, a lot of people have asked me where I got it. It's the brand is Chalkline. I just found it on eBay and I love it. I'm going to show you the back of the jacket.
Oh, nice.
It's pretty rad. But I'm just trying to wear it as much as possible so I can, like, in my head be like, it's okay that I spent that much money on that jacket. It's a tax write-off now.
Yeah, there you go. I was gonna say, it's like, you know, for your television appearances and everything like that. But it was really awesome to see you on WGM, by the way.
Thank you. That was cool. Yeah, it was awesome that happened. That was crazy. I was really nervous, but I think it went okay.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome. Well,
thank you.
Katie, thanks for coming on this episode of the podcast. Our listeners are obviously familiar with By the Lakeside, and now they know you a little bit better. Where can people find your music and your stuff if they would like to listen to the other music that you've written?
So it's all on, you know, iTunes and Spotify and RDO and SoundCloud, pretty much anywhere that you would find music. You can stream or download. Yeah, and I have two EPs out. This one is called Kids, and By the Lakeside is just the single off of that, and that's just four songs. And then the other one, which I put out last summer, is called Burn It to the Ground, and that's six songs. So they're all kind of similar style. Yeah, but yeah, you can pretty much find them anywhere.
Yeah.
And I want to say before I go too, I just want to thank you guys so much because I didn't know what to do with the song, you know, a few months ago. And I knew that something special was happening with the Cubs and I really wanted to get it out there and I really wanted people to hear it. And you guys putting it out there to your fans has helped me so much. And everybody's been so nice. And I just, I'm so thankful for all of the, your listeners who have reached out to me and said really nice things. I mean, it's brought me to tears a lot of times, the things that people have said, because I know that we are on the same page with this. It's like, I've said this before, but with other songs that I write, you know, it's like I could write a song about heartbreak or whatever. And somebody's like, oh, I like that song. But like, we don't have the same experience. We're not identifying from the same place. But with this song, we do have a really collective experience and we are feeling the same thing, you know?
Right,
so yeah. When people reach out to me and they say what they're feeling about the song, I'm like, well, that's exactly what I feel. And I can like, I know what you're feeling. So it's been really great to have, you know, your fans reach out to me and say some really nice things. So thank you so much for using it.
Yeah. Thanks for letting us use it. It's been, I mean, it's just like the perfect soundtrack for right now. It's just, it's right. Perfect.
I hope so.
Where can also, I asked you where your music was, but where can you like, where can people follow you on Twitter?
So my Twitter is at Katie Day Music. And yeah, I mean, I've only been tweeting about the Cubs lately, but I'm sure, you know, at some point I'll tweet about something else. I wasn't really even using Twitter that much until this song kind of picked up, you know? And then I was like, well, I just have to now, but I mean, it's fun. It's really fun. And then my Instagram is just Katie Day with 4 Y's. And I use that also. So, and then I've got my Facebook page, which people have found me on also.
Katie, thanks a lot for your time and go Cubs.
Yeah, go Cubs. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thanks again to Katie for talking with us. And now we're going to preview the wild card game. We've kind of gotten into this, but guys, what's your mental state? We've kind of talked about some of the anxiety that we're feeling heading into Wednesday night's game. What's your mental state without getting into too many specifics, because we're going to save our predictions for the end of the episode, but just where you're at with the actual game, where are you at emotionally?
I'll stick with what I texted you earlier, which is nervous confidence.
Yeah.
I love how it stacks up. I mean, but still the nervousness isn't going anywhere.
I feel pretty confident. I really don't feel that nervous. I don't think I feel as nervous as you guys. And maybe that's because my demeanor and my personality is normally kind of blunted. And I don't mean that in the way, like I'm not into smoking, you know, that kind of blunted, but I mean, it just, I kind of navigate life as sort of a a blunted feeler. I have no idea what that means. But anyway, I guess my point is that I feel pretty confident in the Cubs' ability to win this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a nervous confidence, Kurt, I think I have an anxious confidence. Really, really confident in Jake Arrieta, and we'll get into all that. But I go from feeling like really excited because it's like, okay, they have this and it's going to be fun to watch. And then I just have these like waves of panic where, like you said, I have to get up and try to like breathe. And I don't know.
Yeah. And it's going to be like this until first pitch for me.
Oh, it's going to go beyond the first pitch.
Once the first pitch goes, I'll still be anxious, but a little bit of it will fade. And especially like when the first run is scored by the Cubs, that'll take right. the edge off a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, and once you see Arrieta kind of get into his groove, mm-hmm. get through the first inning, I think that's going to be big.
Yeah. I don't want this to end. You know, I don't want this season to end. I want another month of Cubs baseball. And this has just been, it's been too much fun. It's been too magical for it all to end in one game.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
This is true.
I want
all the feels to continue.
I did have this little moment on my walk today that like where I was thinking, you know, it's like if they win the World Series, it's like, of course, just total insanity. If they don't, we're going to experience the pain at some point between now and then and so I was trying to, like, this is me trying to talk myself like down from the anxiety and just saying, well, if it happens tomorrow or it happens any point in between, it's all kind of the same. Right. So it's like World Series or bust. But I don't know if that makes any sense, but it did at the time. So, I'm just talking BS at this point. The brain is not functioning.
I have two meetings to go to tomorrow for work, and I am going to be an anxious mess. I'm going to be like, I'm going to have to like make sure I grab my deodorant and take it to work, because I am going to sweat through whatever shirt I'm wearing. It's just, it's, I'm not going to be able to concentrate. Like, I two meetings, I cannot concentrate at all.
That's why you got to go sleeveless tomorrow.
I just take a polo and cut the sleeves.
Carry a portable fan.
Just like a Wild Thing in Major League.
Although
I have the luxury of working from home, I think I'm going to pull that tomorrow.
Oh, man.
You could dress up a sleeveless button down.
So check us out. I got a text message today, and it was my daughter's basketball coach. And the text message was about their first basketball practice of the season. Any guess when the first practice of their season is?
Game one of the NLDS?
No, it's tomorrow night. It's
what?
It's the wild card game. I just texted back, no, not happening. Sorry. Nope. All right. So let's get into this. We're going to look at some different aspects of the game. The pitchers and the offenses, just various things that might impact the game, the crowd, the managers, everything like that. And so I think let's first look at the fact that this game is in Pittsburgh.
Sure, yeah. The game's going to be located at PNC Park, Pittsburgh National Corporation Park, or according to the Urban Dictionary, post-nap confusion park. Had some of that going on today. But it's going to be a tough place to play. I mean, the Pirates, when the Pirates are doing well, I think the Pirates fans are known to be pretty enthusiastic and pretty into the game. The Pirates' record at home this season has been pretty incredible. They're 53-28 at home. Allow me to assuage your nervousness. But on the plus side for the Cubs road record has been great this season. They played to the tune of 48 wins and 33 losses on the road, which is only one win less than their home record of 49-32. So the Cubs have played very well on the road, and they've also had a lot of success at post-snap confusion park. They are 6-4 there this season. So I think that it's those two, you know, it's kind of like the unmovable object versus the however, whatever the end of that aphorism is, there is the one of those things has to break. The crowd will definitely be tough.
And the crowd was not tough in the regular season, especially towards the end of the season. I mean, their crowd was pathetic.
Yeah, we saw times where there were fans leaving early and, you know, not every game was a sellout. I mean, they had good attendance this season by all accounts, but still, like, it's kind of surprising some of the times that we saw the park, you know, have a lot of empty seats and stuff like that. But still, though, I mean, if you look back, the Pirates have played the last 2 years they've had the wild card game at PNC Park. Last year's wild card game didn't go well for the Pirates as they were beaten by Bumgarner in a 1-0 game. I think Bumgarner gave up 4 hits in that game.
I don't think that was 1-0. Wasn't that 8-0? Didn't they get destroyed?
Well, fudge, man. How dare you?
I'm pretty sure they got blown out in that game.
How dare you, sir? They lost 8-0. You're right. They lost 8-0. Anyway, my point is that you think of Jake Arrieta as being a pitcher with the shutdown capabilities of a Bumgarner, and he's shown that ability against the Pirates already this season. And so I like sort of the historical precedent of that game as the Pirates were shut down by an incredible pitcher. akin to Jake. In 2013's wild card game went well for the Pirates as they beat the Reds. And I think that Pirates fans take a lot of pride in the effect they had on the pitcher and on the opposing team in this game. If you'll remember, and you can look this up on YouTube, they chanted Cueto over and over again. Johnny Cueto started the game for the Reds. And there was one point that he dropped the ball when he was standing on the mound. The ball dribbled off the mound. He had to go retrieve it. Then on the very next pitch, he gave up a home run to Russell Martin. And so they won that game, but they went on to lose in the NLDS to the Cardinals. But my point is that I think you can kind of look to that game as far as what to expect from the fans. And I think that the constitution of Arrieta seems to be a lot more hardy and sturdy than that. I don't think that he's going to be the kind of guy that drops the ball because they're chanting his name. He's just has shown a steely demeanor all season and has been fairly unaffected by what's going on outside of his little world of the mound and, you know, him and the batter.
But this will be a test. He may unbutton
his jersey, three buttons to reveal mustache onesie underneath. And then he'll go on to pitch a no-hitter.
I mean, I think that he has shown that, but at the same time, like, this will be something that he has never faced before. And this will be something, and it might be one of those things where, and I mean, I really don't think that he'll be affected by it, but it is possible that if something goes wrong, you know, it's kind of like how things are, like, if there's an error or something like that, like something that could kind of rattle a pitcher, like for instance, when Cueto dropped the baseball and then that just opened it up. And so then, like, you know, that's when a pitcher would get rattled like that. I don't think Arrieta will let that happen, but I think it's going to be important for everyone behind Arrieta to play good, clean baseball, because I think if they make any mistakes, like, that's when that crowd will really possibly have an effect.
That's a great point. Cause I think you're right. The rest of the team does help the composition of Arrieta's armor or his, you know, him being impervious to the effect of the crowd. So, it's not just like he's alone out there. He needs the help of the team, but, I mean, the crowds has a planned blackout apparently. And there's some funny stuff that's popped up on social media and various articles. There's a guy who apparently came up with special fan chants for every inning, which I think some people were pretty funny on Twitter pointing out that, oh, so you expect Arrieta to go deep into the game, because he had a chant plan for like all the way through the ninth inning. But I thought it was hilarious. A lot of his chants like involved the crowd being quiet for a period of time, like until the windup. Like, that's not going to happen, bro.
right. Nothing like forced, you know, forced fan. I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for? Interference, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. But isn't it fun to be in that position where I think they're more worried about Arrieta than we are about Cole? And that's
right. Right.
I mean, Cole is a great pitcher. Don't get me wrong. We're going to cover that. But, you know, it's nice to see everybody else worried about the Cubs.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a good segue. Let's talk about Garrett Cole. Were you done, Andy, with?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Let's move on.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously, Garrett Cole, he had a really nice 2015 season. He went 19-8. He had an ERA of 2.60. And that ERA was pretty true, as his FIP was right there at 2.66. He struck out 8.5 per nine innings, just above his career average. He walked 1.9 batters per nine, which is just below his career average. He doesn't give up many home runs, and he's a good pitcher. I mean, he's the ace of a good team. He's the ace of a team that won 98 games with a good pitching staff. So he is, this isn't somebody that I think the Cubs can kind of really count on chasing early, like some of the, or I think they'll be able to chase him early, but I don't think they're going to get to him in like the second or third inning, like we've seen them do to some pitchers recently that were of lesser quality. You can look at like the pitchers at the Reds throughout there, for example. So the funny thing is Cole has actually been worse at home than on the road. And it's not a huge difference, but he has a 2.83 ERA at home and a 3.04 FIP. And he gave up 8 of his 11 home runs at PNC. So there's that. And the Cubs faced Gerrit Cole 4 times this season. They faced him April 29th at Wrigley. He went 6 innings and gave up 1 run on 3 hits. On May 16th at Wrigley, he went 6 innings and gave up 2 runs on 7 hits. September 15th at PNC, he went 6 1/3 innings and gave up 4 runs, 3 of them earned on 6 hits. And then on September 25th at Wrigley, he went 7 innings, gave up 1 run on 4 hits. So I guess if you look at those outings, his worst performance of the year against the Cubs was at PNC. But I think it's just going to be, I don't think there's much, I would be kind of surprised if this is like a slug fest. You know, I think it's going to be a pitcher's duel. And the one thing is that I think that if you look at this, you know, Cole in his games against the Cubs, it looks like he's good for around 6 innings. We know that Arrieta is good for more, but the Pirates have a great bullpen. So that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, once you can chase the starter, then it's time to start lighting up the scoreboard. So it's just, I think it's just going to be a really close, tough game. And the thing that makes me nervous about that is that there's not a lot of room for error. But as we said on the last episode, I can't really point to many instances where the defense has hurt the Cubs this season. And so I just think I'm making myself nervous. Just so let's move on because I can't talk about this anymore.
And just to sort of piggyback on what you're saying, like, it is going to be an incredible game. We were talking about two teams who won 97 and 98 games, and we're talking about the wild card.
Right, like, right.
This is not the World Series matchup. It's the wild card game. It's the most wins between two teams to ever meet in the wild card game. Like, these are really great teams. It's unfortunate that one of them has to be knocked out so soon.
Yeah, and really, you know, we look at it from a Cubs fan's perspective, and it's kind of depressing that this team won 97 games, and not only are they in the wild card game, but they don't even have home field advantage for it. But just think about how much this sucks for Reds fans, Reds fans, it really sucks for Pirates fans, because, I mean, here they are, like, every year they're in this wild card game. And this year they won 98 games and they still can't, you know, that still isn't good enough for the division. So, I mean, I actually kind of do feel like I feel bad for Pirates fans because I don't think this is like really a very fair situation for either one of those teams. But it's the way it's set up.
Think about how under the old system, the Cubs would be missing the playoffs right now with 97 wins.
Right.
Holy crap, that's insane.
Right, that would be so depressing.
Or think about the fact that a few years ago, the Houston Astros could have been the fourth place team with, what, they have 86 wins?
Yeah.
Like how good these teams are, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But.
Well, while we're still on the topic of Gerrit Cole, let's look at the Cubs' career stats versus Cole. And obviously, all of these are small sample sizes, so there's, you know, you have to really take them with a grain of salt. But Anthony Rizzo and Starlin Castro have the most at-bats on the team versus Cole. That's 17 at-bats apiece. They're both hitting .353. They each have 6 hits. Bryant is 3-for-9. Montero is 3-for-5. Addison Russell's 2-for-7, as is Jorge Soler. Schwarber is 1-for-5. Dino is 3-for-6. Of all of the current Cubs players, only one is homered off of Gerrit Cole, and that's Javier Baez. So that's how the Cubs have done against Gerrit Cole. Like I said, I don't know what you can glean from that. I suppose what I take from it is that he's hittable. If Rizzo and Castro are both hitting .353 off of him, and Montero went 3-for-5, and Bryant's 3-for-9. I think he's really good, but he's hittable. He's no Jake Arrieta. And the biggest thing is I think that we need Jake Arrieta to be Jake Arrieta tomorrow.
This is where you cue up the Alan Keys Parsons the Project, the serious song that they used to play at the Bulls games. You know, like, you guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I know what you're talking about.
Corey's Keys to the Game.
But, we need Jake Arrieta to be Jake Arrieta.
You guys get to talk about the Pirates.
Cold hard facts. In,
like I'll come in like, you know, the wrestler taking the stage and giving his speech. But you know, you guys kind of set up the case why the Pirates might have a chance. So I'm going to throw down why Jake Arrieta is not going to let that happen. So in 33 starts this year, this is the stuff you already know mostly, but let's just repeat it to make ourselves feel better.
Do it.
In 33 starts, he had the most wins in baseball with 22, with six losses, 1.77 ERA, 2.35 FIP, four complete games, three shutouts, and one no-hitter. He allowed just 10 home runs in 229 innings pitched, 236 strikeouts to 44 walks. He was 12-1 with a 0.75 ERA in the second half, and he finished the year with 20 straight quality starts. That started on June 21st. And he's actually been better on the road than he has been at Wrigley. He's 13-1 with a 1.6 ERA in 18 games on the road, and his no-hitter came at Dodger Stadium. His record against the Pirates, he had five starts against the Pirates, more than any other team. He's 3-1 in those starts. And the Pirates' batting average against Arrieta is 151. The loss that he got against the Pirates, he pitched seven innings and allowed one run, but the Cubs were shut out, so they lost. So kind of hard to count that as a loss. It's a little bit unfair.
He could have hit a home run.
I mean,
let's be fair.
What is he doing?
That's really on him. So moving on to PNC, he did have three starts at PNC this year. He's 3-0. He allowed four runs in 22 innings. So if Gerrit Cole makes you nervous as a Cubs fan, and you're a Pirate fan, and you just see the stats I just rattled off, like, if you don't have confidence in Arrieta going into this game, even if it's nervous confidence, then there's basically no other scenario that could make you feel better. You know, you can't get rid of that. Because, you know, we're talking about the best pitcher in baseball, the best half season that a pitcher's ever had in baseball. And he's pitching for the Cubs tomorrow. And I think that's enough to make me nervously confident, as I said earlier.
I don't know. That's almost enough for me to fire up some Chuck. Feels so good.
No. I mean, yeah. I don't want to go too deep into what it would take for the Cubs not to win, but just because...
Well, and the one thing, like, I'm trying to come up with things that make me, I'm trying to focus on the things that make me confident in Jake Arrieta. And one of those things is that the most, you know, he hasn't pitched in the playoffs before. And a lot of these Cubs have never been in the playoffs before. And so if I think of what was the most, when was he most in the spotlight or whatever, you know, what game was most in the spotlight? It would have to be that Sunday night game against the Dodgers. And he threw a no hitter that night. And, I guess if you're going to look at another one, it would be a week ago on Sunday night when he played, when, the Cubs and the week and a half ago when the Cubs and the Pirates played Sunday night baseball. And I don't have those stats in front of me, but didn't he have a perfect game into the seventh, or was it the fifth? I mean, he pitched very well. So it's almost like the times where he has been in high pressure situations, he has performed. That's when he's performed the best, really. So.
Yeah, I think this is one of those moments where I think in the moment, it's hard for us to realize how good he's been. Like, this is the guy we're going to look back at when we're old and talk about, yeah, we saw that season, you know, we saw that him pitch that way. And it's hard to think in those terms when you're in it, but you know,
we have documented proof though, Kurt. We have a podcast.
Yeah, we do.
We have these files.
our grandkids will be like, what are you showing us? Here, why is it not in virtual reality?
Yeah, so that's Arrieta and Garrett Cole. Let's take a look at the offense. Andy, why don't you get us started with the Pirates offense?
Sure. I mean, obviously, these guys have a potent lineup. It kind of revolves around McCutchen. I don't think they match up that well against a righty like Arrieta. First of all, a lot of their hitters are righties. You know, first of all, if you're trying to play the matchups, like Cervelli is right as a righty. You have McCutchen and Marte, both righties. Ramos Ramirez is a righty. Michael Morse possibly coming off the bench is a righty. And so in the last matchup that the Cubs had against the Pirates, again with Arrieta on the mound, the Pirates marched Gregory Polanco out there as the leadoff hitter, which is a guy that isn't good with on-base percentage, isn't good with average, but just because he had a left-handed bat. The thing is, though, is like once you start looking at the lineup, you get into it, you know, you have Marte, you have McCutchen, and then McCutchen has some protection in the lineup with, you know, Ramos Ramirez, Neil Walker, Pedro Alvarez, who bats lefty. So that guy is someone to keep an eye on. And Cervelli following him in the lineup. It's pretty rugged, honestly. And they're a little bit different than the Cubs offensively, as they don't hit a lot of homers. I mean, these guys rank 10th in the National League in homers, but they rank 5th in average. And we know that the Cubs are kind of near the bottom in average. So they're sort of built differently in as far as their offense is concerned. But the thing is their OBP is almost exactly the same as the Cubs. And that's just because they get on more than the Cubs via hits, whereas the Cubs walk a lot more than the Pirates. They rank 10th in the NL in walk percentage. They don't walk a lot. And I think that bodes well against a pitcher like Arrieta, who can really miss bats. If they're not willing to put in those disciplined at bats against a guy like Arrieta, it could be a rough day for them. So,
if you look back at that last game that Arrieta pitched against them, I mean, thinking back on it, he was masterful in that, you know, and like that's exactly, I mean, they Pirates batters, I was kind of worried at the time about Pirates hitters getting another look at Arrieta, and it didn't really matter that night because they clearly were clueless against him.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and Arrieta has options. I mean, the guy can work them in a different way because I think he's shown that he can control his pitches, all of them, you know, and right. So he's not going to give them exactly the same look as they saw the last time. And he doesn't have to because it's not like he, you know, his secondary pitches and air quotation marks are like, you know, inferior to his best stuff. I mean, all of his stuff is plus, you know, so
right.
he can work these guys as he sees fit.
So, Arrieta going back to July, Arrieta has given up 2 home runs, which is exactly how many he has hit. Do you guys think that it's more likely we will see the Pirates score off home runs or score by stringing hits and walks together? Andy, you mentioned they're not really a home run hitting team, but Arrieta is not really a guy that you can string a bunch of hits off. So If the Pirates score, how do you guys think it's going to happen?
Well, I mean, for me, I think it is going to be maybe getting lucky and connecting with one. With all that being said about their lack of power this season, they still have several guys with a lot of pop in their bat. And, you know, if, you know, a guy like, I don't know, like Andrew McCutchen can go deep at any time. I mean, so it's Ramos Ramirez. I feel pretty confident in Arrieta matching up against Ramos Ramirez, Having seen him a lot in my lifetime. But, you know, some of these guys do have some power.
Yeah, I think if they're going to score, it's going to be off a home run. I could see like one solo home run, but I don't think they're going to be able to like put a rally together against Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, because he just pitches to such weak contact. So even guys who are making contact, like, I should have put this in my notes, but like his BABIP is insanely low. So even when they are able to connect, they don't hit it hard.
Right.
You know, a lot of foul balls. So like you said, it's going to be hard for them to string a series of hits together.
Yeah. We're pretty aware of the Cubs offense, but Kurt, why don't you talk for a second about the Cubs offense in the context of this game?
Yeah, I think one positive is the fact that the Cole is right-handed just by a little bit. The Cubs have a .246 average and a .322 OBP against righties. It's just a slight improvement over lefties. And also the fact that it's on the road, we talked about how good they've been on the road, and the Cubs hit .251 on the road versus .237 at Wrigley. You know, it, with this large of a sample size, I don't know if you have a large sample size song over there, Corey, but that's actually a fairly significant difference. And that, you know, Wrigley was a tough offensive place to play this year. And their numbers against the Pirates have also been really good. The only team they hit better against was the Tigers, who they only played 4 games against. And the Pirates, they played 19 games against and hit .280. Their slash line was .280, .352, .382. That's pretty good. And they averaged almost 10 hits per game. And at PNC, they were even better than that previous number. They hit .295, .353, .426. And their BABIP at PNC is .396.
Huh.
And PNC is a pretty good offensive park. You know, I think in the Cubs, kind of with the power they have in this lineup, looks like took advantage of it. You know, this obviously includes all the Pirates starters, and they had a couple of like throwaway starters that the Cubs faced, but you know, Cole isn't those guys, so it kind of offsets some of these numbers. But for the most part, the Cubs have done well at PNC, so you can kind of pull back on some of the nervousness there too.
You know, to be honest, since we've been talking about this for about a half hour, I am more calm and confident now than I have been at any point in the last 3 days.
I mean, a .353 on base percentage at a park that's pretty solid. So the Cubs like hitting there. So it's looking better and better as we go.
Yeah. We're talking ourselves into being confident. We're getting rid of the nervousness. Yeah.
Having the best pitcher in baseball going in the game isn't enough,
right?
Then the Cubs actually hit well at PNC.
Yeah. I think another component to look at is the managers, and I don't really know what to say about this. I don't watch enough Pirates baseball to evaluate Hurdle, but I sure like how Madden has managed this team, and I think that if one of those managers is going to impact the game enough for their team to win, I think it's Joe Madden. But I really do think this game will be decided by Jake Arrieta and Gerrit Cole. I don't think it's going to come down to how the bullpens are used and things like that. I think it's going to come down to those two.
Yeah, I think you're right. I just hope that the bullpen for the Cubs is fairly insignificant usage, maybe an inning.
Right. I'm hoping for zero.
Yeah, that would be ideal. I'd say one inning at most. Zero.
I don't know. I would like to see a complete game. And if it goes 12, if it goes 12 innings, I would like to see a complete game.
Basically, until his arm falls off of his body. Yeah. You're willing to sacrifice him.
Right.
Well, we do have Tsuyoshi Wada. He's fresh for the games afterwards. So
he's a guarantee to make the wild card roster.
Right. Right.
Given his zero appearances.
All right, so I guess it's the time of this episode when we should make our predictions. We have never made predictions about a single game, but I think we have to. So who wants to go first?
I will. Okay. You guys waited.
Go for it, Kurt.
Then I'll jump in. I am going to go Cubs win, obviously, 4-1. And I'm going to give some details on my prediction. Arrieta pitches 8, gives up the 1 run in the 8th. Rondon comes in to get the save. And I'm going to throw out one more thing. I think Castro is going to play a significant part in the 4 runs that the Cubs score.
I like it.
And then people will fall in love with him again and be like, I've loved him the whole year. I don't know all these haters. I don't know what all these haters are talking about. Love that guy.
I'm going to predict a 5-2 Cubs win. I think Arrieta gives up one of those runs, and then the other run is given up by the bullpen. But the Cubs win. I think Rizzo goes deep. And
gets hit by 2 pitches.
And I think the lefties have a big day. I think that Dexter Fowler will get a few hits. I think he'll get 2 hits. I think Tommy La Stella will get a start, and I think he'll get a couple of hits.
5-2. Correct?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Okay, so here's my prediction. It's kind of detailed. The Cubs are up.
Corey passes out in first inning. That's yeah. The end of the prediction.
Right. The Cubs are up 4-2. It's the bottom of the 9th. There's 2 outs. The Pirates have runners on 1st and 2nd. And Aramis Ramirez comes up to the plate. He hits a towering fly ball to deep left field. He watches it along with the 40,000 or however many people are in the ballpark, watches it and watches the ball soar through the air and just sure.
Has that, a lot of hang time, this ball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's towering. And he's sure that he's hit the game-winning walk-off home run against his former team.
Does he even bat flip?
No, he doesn't bat flip. He's still holding the bat.
He hasn't even moved.
He's still holding the bat. Oh, wait a minute, though. It's not, it maybe isn't going out. And then he starts running. And the ball bounces high off the wall. Schwarber's playing left field. He fields it off the wall, spins and fires to Castro. The throw's high. He threw it all the way in. Throws high. And Castro reaches up really high as he's jumping. And while still in the air, he reaches down as Ramirez attempts to slide underneath him and tags him out. But did the tying run cross the plate? I don't know. The umps say yes, but Joe Maddon asks for a review. He's got nothing to lose. He asks for a review. And upon further review, no, he did not cross the plate, and the game is over 4-3.
Ramirez misses the plate. Oh, man. I would literally die if that scenario comes true.
That's how it's going to happen.
I don't see any of it because I've just had a heart attack.
So the final score is 4-3. I have another prediction, though, a more serious one. My other serious prediction is that the Cubs actually win 3-1. Arrieta goes 9, and he gives up 1 run on 4 hits. He strikes out 11 and walks 1.
Wow. You put the full line.
Yep.
I like that prediction. Pretty close to mine. Although, yeah. And now that you just threw that out there, I'm sort of second guessing the fact that, like, Arrieta gives up 1 in the 8th. Madden's not going to pull him for Rondon. So I may have to adjust mine, but I'm still going to stick with the 4-1 with Castro doing something great.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to wrap up this episode, but do you guys have any comforting words for the Cubs fans that are developing ulcers right now?
Boy, I could just say, like, after reviewing everything we just talked about, you know, on paper, the Cubs have pretty much, I don't know how a sports person could review it and say, well, Pirates win. So I think on paper, they're great. Of course, they don't play games on paper, but, you know, best pitcher in baseball and this young, amazing offense, I like our shot.
Yep.
Right, momentum, and in Jake we trust. I think all adds up to a Cubs win.
All right, so those are our predictions, and we asked you to call in your predictions. So stick around after the end of this episode and listen to those. We have quite a few of them, and I think that you guys will get a kick out of some of them. But they were all interesting, and there's a couple that made me giggle. So So now we just sit and wait. We wait for the 7:08 Central time first pitch. So hold it together, folks. It's going to be a wild one. And when you start to freak out, just remember we have Jake Arrieta on the mound. He's not perfect, but he's about as close as it gets. So we're going to do a post-game show after the game. Win or lose, we will be here. So follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, ivmb.com/Facebook. We're at IVMB on Twitter. If you have an iPhone, download the Blab app, and we will be doing the live show through that. And you can also go to ivnv.com/live right after the game, and I'll put the link in there. Like I said, 7 seasons of podcasting, 354 episodes, and this is what we've been waiting for. So thanks to all of you that tuned in to watch live tonight, and thank you for downloading this episode. And until tomorrow night, go Cubs!
Hello. Hello, this is Ivy Envy. This is Brock from Evansville, Indiana. I'm calling because I was told to call this number to predict the wild card game. I think the Cubs will win 2-1. I think Dexter Fowler will have a solid game. I think he is due for a big game. I think Quentin Berry will get a stolen base late in the game and will score that second run. Go Cubs, go. Let's beat those Cardinals.
Hey guys, Chris from Pekin here with my no-edit voicemail prediction for tomorrow night's wild card game. Gerrit Cole leaves the game after 6 3rd after giving up 1 earned run. Arrieta powers through 7, leaves after giving up 2, 1 unearned. In the top of the 8th, D'Onofrio will come up to the plate with 2 on and 2 out, hit a double down the line, giving the Cubs a 1-run lead. Travis Wood throws down in the 8th. In the 9th, Rondon strikes out the first batter, walks the next 2, gets out of it with a double play. Cubs win 3-2. St. Louis, here we come.
Hey guys, it's Matthew from Justice. Just calling to talk about that game on Wednesday night. I got that nervous, excited thing going on. I'm really hoping that the Cubs are going to do great, but, you know, I've been a fan since 1980. I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm more excited than nervous. But anyways, I'm thinking that Schwarber, Bryant, and Rizzo are going to be the game's offensive output. Maybe with some base hits by a couple of other guys, but I really think that those 3 are really going to put on the offensive power show. And, of course, I think Arrieta is going to go deep, if not maybe pitch a no-hitter, if not a complete game. I really think he's going to dominate the Pirates. You know, I'm just looking past, I want to get through this game and looking past to see what we can do against the Cardinals, but we got to get past this game first, and I really think we're going to do it, and I think we're going to put on a show. I think it's going to be 6-2, final score. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Bye.
Hey, this is Sean from Iowa. Prediction for Wednesday night. 1-1 heading into the 9th. Starling Castro, Mark Melanson. Home run. Oh, wait, did it go out? I don't know. We have to review it. Oh, 30 minutes later, it's a home run. Cubs up 2-1. Hector Rondon walks the bases loaded, strikes out the side. Bring on the birds. Thank you, and have a good night.
Hi, guys. This is Dawn from Plainfield. I'm calling in with my prediction for tomorrow's wild card game. I actually have 2 predictions. My first prediction is that the Cubs are absolutely going to win this game. And my second prediction is that I will not be able to see the victory because I will have passed out from anxiety sometime around the 3rd or 4th inning. So those are my 2 predictions. Can't wait to see how it all turns out. And can't wait to listen to the podcast on Thursday. Go Cubs!
Hey, this is Steven in Chicago. There's no sort of message leading into this beep, so hopefully I'm not just leaving this on some random Quad City person's number. Yes, for predictions for tomorrow night. It has really hit me today. I was walking down Addison today, and a lot of people had signs up with hashtag fly the W. Must be a new thing that's coming out. But I'm trying to be as confident as Jake Arrieta is. I think it's going to be a scoreless game until about the sixth. I think the third time through the order, we're going to finally get to him, put up a couple of runs, and that will essentially break the spirit of the Pirates, and we'll see it out from there. We're going to win 2-0, pitcher's duel, you know, a few scattered hits here and there for us, and win it 2-0, and that's my prediction. I hope I'm right.
Hello, benevolent overlord. So I grew up in Pittsburgh, a big Pirates fan. When I was a little kid, I saw greats like Roberto Clemente and Willie Stargell play at Forbes Field. But that was then. This is now. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Gerrit Cole, or the Cole Train, as Bucks fans call him, is going to come off the rails by the fifth inning. He's an emotional guy, and that runaway train is going to lose it as soon as the Cubs start scoring. Arrieta's going to go eight. Rondon will save. And how appropriate that the Pirates fans are dressed in black, for they will be in mourning by the end of the game, crying in their Iron City beer. Final score, Cubs 4, Pirates 1. Hashtag hoist the W. Hashtag gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.